This is many, many years ago when I was first on radio in New York City. I used to live in New York City. And a parapsychologist that I was discussing things with a couple of other people on the radio, he said, well, if you're so sure of yourself, why don't you put your money where your mouth is? And I didn't have very much money in the bank, I can assure you. I think only about $200 in the bank at that time. And I said, okay, I'll give $1,000 to anyone who can prove that there is something psychic. And that sort of straightened people up. Now, in those days, $1,000 was a lot more money than it is today, of course. And they sort of sat back and looked at one another. They didn't know what to say. Now, I didn't have $1,000 in the bank. But what I did was, later on that same afternoon, I went to the bank and I obtained a loan from the bank and I put it in my bank account. So I did have $1,000, so I wasn't lying after I went to the bank. But before I went to the bank, I was lying, I must admit. I couldn't bet $1,000 because I didn't have it. But I now had it in the bank. And that sort of slowed them down for a while. They didn't know what to do about that. And ever since that, now we enlarged the amount at one point to $500, and then it got up to $5,000, and it went on and on. And now it's at $1 million, and this is not my $1 million. It doesn't belong to me. That money was given to us by a very wealthy donor who put it in a special account, which is with an investment place in New York City. And it gains interest every day, and it gets bigger and bigger all the time. So there's somewhat more than $1 million as a prize now. But that's how it all started, and I'm very happy to have it there. Now, you would think that having $1 million as a prize would get you a very high profile, and that people would be paying very good attention to that. But I'm on the second floor of my house, looking outside at the front door. I don't see any lineup of people there. You'd think there'd be people out there saying, I have the proof. I have the proof right here. Give me the $1 million. But there are no people lined up, and there are no people making application for the prize anymore now. Here's one application I got. This is a notarized piece of paper with a scribble on it. I'm sure you can't understand any of that. It's just ridiculous. The kind of thing that I get all the time, telling me about how great God is and how I must be afraid of God and a few things like that. That's not what I'm interested in. If you say that you can prove that there are such things as psychic powers by demonstrating them or showing where they have been demonstrated, you win $1 million. It's that simple. We've offered this prize for many, many years now. And again, no, I still don't see anybody outside lined up. Yes, well, this man was very irregular in the way he was staying in touch with me. And I think he got a little frightened. The fact that he might actually have to prove something. But that's been only one person of hundreds of people who have contacted me and have attempted to prove psychic powers. But he didn't offer any proof of psychic power, just arguments about it. And an argument is one thing, but evidence is a different thing altogether. And he offered me no evidence whatsoever, so nothing was accomplished. If he says he's not a psychic, that's okay. I'm not asking him to prove it, but I'm asking him to prove that anyone else has any psychic powers. And if he's giving these lessons to people and instructional sessions with them that he charges money for, this is very much like a man who has no legs teaching people how to ride bicycles. I don't quite understand. Well, first of all, I don't debunk people. Let's get some terminology clear here. I don't prove that they're not psychics. I ask them to prove that they are psychics. I ask them to prove to me, or not to me, but to the whole world, that they actually have psychic powers. And they don't want to do it that way. They want me to try to prove that they're not psychics. Now, you can't prove that there are no unicorns in the Philippine Islands. The reason for that is that proving a negative is absolutely impossible. You can't prove that something doesn't exist until you've examined all the evidence there ever is in the world, past and in the present and the future. So this is not the way to go about an investigation, of course. But this gentleman in the Philippines, I think he has a very poor grasp of logic and rationality. But on the other hand, remember that he is professional in that he is teaching people about psychic things. And again, it's like a man with no legs teaching others how to ride bicycles. It is just a silly notion altogether. I have stated it very clearly. They have to show that there are such things as psychic powers. Not that they have them necessarily, but that such things exist. And anecdotal evidence of somebody told me this, somebody told me that, or I saw it in a book, that doesn't count at all. You actually have to have evidence. They have to prove it. They have to perform. They have to be able to do it. And if he doesn't have any psychic powers and he doesn't say that he has psychic powers, okay. But perhaps he knows somebody who does have psychic powers. If so, if that person will provide the evidence for it, and the evidence is satisfactory, and it has to be very positive evidence, of course, then they will receive the $1 million. It's that simple. It's not a difficult thing to figure out. It's very clearly stated on our website, and if you've been in touch with DJ, of course, he would explain that to anyone who is interested in listening. And I understand that you have been in touch with him, and that he has explained these things, and I'm sure that you understand yourself, of course, Red, that that is the way these things are proven. They're not just proven by people making claims and saying they can do things. Well, where is Uri Geller's application? He hasn't applied for the prize. He knows that if he has psychic powers, that he can certainly win $1 million. It's very simple for him to do, but he has never applied for it, and he ignores the challenge altogether. I think we know the reason for that, of course. Now, he also, you must know this, I don't know whether you've heard of this or not, but he now says he doesn't want to be called a psychic. He wants to be called a mystifier. I don't know what that's all about, but I think maybe I do. You see, for all these years, he has done four tricks. One, two, three, four. Four tricks only. No more than that. And he does those, and he does them repeatedly, bending a spoon, determining a drawing that's sealed in an envelope, etc. But these are very common mentalism stunts, of course. And the point is, magicians, if they, and entertainers in general, you know, a singer who only sings four different songs and nothing else is doomed to failure, of course. And he only does four tricks, and yet he's been able to carry this off for years now. He's a very famous so-called psychic, and many people believe that he has psychic powers. Some scientists even believed that he had psychic powers, not so much anymore now. But when he says he wants to be known as a mystifier, that's him trying to get off the big hook that is now in his mouth. And it's hurting him, obviously. He wants to be able to say, I'm sure, ha, 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 it was just a joke, ladies and gentlemen. It's all a trick. Ho, 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 ho. Isn't that funny? But I think that would not be the reaction, because there are universities, there are companies, there are schools out there, and there are all kinds of organizations and individuals who have spent millions of dollars to investigate what they've gotten to know as the Geller effect. Now, if there is no Geller effect, and he's been lying to all these people all of these years, I think that some of those people would sue him, and they could win, because he told them that he had psychic powers, that he didn't do magic tricks, he didn't know how to do magic tricks. Oh, I'm quite innocent. I don't know how those things are done. That's for the magician, not for me. And the fact that he has been saying that repeatedly for all these decades now, during which he's been doing his silly tricks, his four, remember, only four, one, two, three, four, silly tricks, that would really speak against him. And I'm sure that he were taken to court internationally, that he would lose and he would have to pay these people huge amounts of money. So he can't say, ho, 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 it was just a joke. But he's trying to just be known now as a mystifier. I find that very amusing, to say the least. Oh, it's hard to say, because they don't want to admit. You see, usually when I answer them, and I answer them logically, they suddenly disappear off my screen. I don't see them any longer. They just don't ever contact me again. One gentleman in California, I've forgotten what city it was, someplace in California, he challenged me on remote viewing. You know what they claim for remote viewing, if they can send their mind to the planet Jupiter or to the other stars and such and tell you what's happening out there. They won't send their minds to Fort Lauderdale here in Florida, because I have a cupboard just around the corner here which has an object that I change every few weeks. It's a simple object. At one time it was a bottle of ketchup. At another time it was an egg, for example. And I put in there a Halloween mask and a few things like that. And I just ask them to come to here, cast their mind, their soul, their mystifying presence or whatever, cast it all the way to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, which is much closer than Jupiter, as I'm sure you know. And tell me what's in the cupboard there. And it's always on record. We have notarized statement always on record of what object is in the closet. And we just ask them to identify that. And if they're right, boy, they win the prize. But they don't want to do that. They want to send their minds to Jupiter and say, oh, it's very cold here. Yes, I think it is. But we already know that. So that's not very psychic, I would say. But Geller, the bottom line with Geller is that he would be sued, I believe, by a lot of people and organizations around the world if he were to say, it was just a joke. And it's not much of a joke when all these people spent all of that money, research money, and their valuable time as scientists to investigate these things. They would not be amused. Well, the harm is reflected, Red, in the fact that I have spent many very sad hours with with people in various families here in Florida and in Canada and in the UK and even in the Philippines, as a matter of fact, in Cebu some years ago. Spent time with families sitting around with the tears coming down their face saying, we spent all of our money on the psychics. We haven't got any money left. We haven't had any money to leave to the children or anything, because we spent all this money on the psychics and the psychics gave us nothing. All I can tell these unfortunate people is it was very unwise of you to do that, because these people are liars, they're fakes, they are not real, they don't have any genuine powers, and you have just wasted your money and there's no way you're going to get that money back. And that's very true. These people have swindled them, and it's very sad. That's where the damage is. And not only that, it changes people's philosophies, and it makes them believe in supernormal powers that are all around them, and they have to give money, and they have to pay psychics and witches and various other people, brujas and brujos. They have to pay these people to save them. That's where the damage is. This is the vulnerable people out there who continue to give their money to the fakers. Well, they undergo a sort of a evolution. I'm sure they don't believe in evolution either, but they tend to undergo an evolution. Now, I have seen people who come into the trade believing they may have some psychic powers because some of the things that they tell people will turn out to be true. And they cling to that. They say, oh, I've got the powers, I've got the powers. But then they realize that they have to begin lying. They have to cheat and have to use subterfuges. And like people like Sylvia Brown, who is now no longer with us, those people are absolutely heartless in these claims and in these subterfuges that they use. And they get to the point where they find that they have to be dishonest in order to keep making money. And that's the story of the game. You have to make a living because you've got to put food in your mouth, you've got to pay for the roof over your head. They have to support themselves. Now, the interesting thing about Sylvia Brown, of course, is that Sylvia was paid up for 2 years in advance by people who were paying her 850 American dollars for a 20-minute reading over the telephone, and not even in person. And all they would get in return for that, they had to pay first, and then they received the phone call from her. And she was booked up for 2 years in advance. Now, she just died a matter of a couple of weeks ago. What happened to all that money? It's still in the bank, and I'm sure that the organization she represents, the Church of Novus Spiritus, it's called, I believe, those people are not going to give that money back. I have an idea that they're just going to run away with it, and we won't hear anything more of the Church of Novus Spiritus. But that's only my estimation. Now, knowing the previous behavior of these people when their organization folds up and goes away. So, again, I got onto a different subject there, but Sylvia Brown, for quite some time, was a big subject. She was on television programs all the time over here, never answering any of my questions, but and never applying for the $1 million either. She could have won it very easily, of course, if she had the powers, which she obviously didn't. Religion has no evidence to support it at all, only claims and a book called the Bible. I used to have one here someplace. I need that for advice all the time, of course. Ho, ho, ho. But that's all it has, is stories that are a couple of thousand years old and more. They don't have any evidence. I've asked for evidence of that too, but they say, "Oh, you don't never question God." Well, if he's such a wonderful deity and he's so good to us, why does he bring earthquakes and floods and typhoons? And you people are very, very familiar with that phenomenon, of course. Why did God bring the typhoon to the Philippines? Why? Why did all those people have to die and all that property be lost and all that agony and starvation and a dreadful disaster that was visited on the Philippines? Why did that happen? Is God very angry at the Philippines and the Filipinos themselves? I can't quite picture that. He's supposed to be a merciful God, you see, a good deity who looks after everybody, and I'm good to everybody, and I love you all. Oh, start the typhoon. Yes, right now, yes, because I don't like them. Oh, I don't want them to know that. Ridiculous. It's fear. This is fear of some power in the sky or under the earth, and they believe in both of them, of course. Fear of retribution. Now, if God is so all merciful and does everything for us and loves us so much, why does God do these dreadful things then? That's a strange God. This God is vengeful, he's angry, he's jealous, he doesn't want to explain himself or anything. You just have to give him everything that you have, and you have to give him all of your faith and your love and your brotherhood and all of these things. And what does he do? He sends a typhoon. Duh, I'm not following the logic here. Well, I'm very popular on December the 25th. The 24th and 25th, I'm very popular. The 26th is the day that I have to deal with because they didn't get the pony, or they didn't get the computer, or they didn't get the iPad or whatever. And they all look at me very strangely in the streets. So I stay home for a few days after Christmas. Well, I think that lying to children is something that should be avoided at all costs, except if there's some problem with the family, with some individual in the family, that you have to rather shade the meaning of words and such. With young children, I think that can be acceptable. But telling children outright lies, saying that a man in a red suit has flying reindeer and runs all over the world, well, you know the story, of course. It's so illogical, it's so irrational, that children would tend, I think, if they're thinking, tend not to trust you after that. Now, I was one of three children. I was the firstborn, and so I didn't have my brother and sister around for a while as a kid. And I'm told by everybody who knew me back way back then, and there are not too many of those people left still alive today, because I am 85 after all. And I'm told that I never had any belief in those things, and I would say, why, when they told me anything, but why? And they didn't want to answer that. They didn't want to give reasons to a small child because they thought it was not necessary. I never had the Santa Claus belief, of course. I used to be so disappointed to know that they were actually lying to me. Now, something just came up on my screen here. Just out of interest, I just got a little box jumped up on the screen saying that Ed Lu, that's E-D-L-U, one of the astronauts recently and retired from the astronaut business now, was a good friend of mine. I did the first card trick in space with Ed Lu. I just saw a sign here at the corner of my screen saying that Ed Lu is on the internet. He's not listening to us, I'm sure, at the moment. He has much more important things to do. But think of that now. The fact that a message came up in the corner of my screen telling me that Ed Lu, at his home in California, I think it is California. Oh, I hope it is California. Sorry, Ed, if I gave the wrong state. Actually turned on his computer. And I knew because I looked at the corner of my screen here. That's almost magic. Now, we know how it works. It's not magic, of course. But that's much, much better than flying reindeers. Come on. How do reindeer fly? They're not aerodynamically designed at all. They're apt to fall down in very awkward places, but it's such a waste of intellect. And for young children to have to get over that bump and suddenly realize, oh, there is no Santa Claus? Duh, what have I been doing all these years sitting on that man's lap in a red suit? I mean, come on. We know so little about our universe. We know so little about our solar system alone, let alone the rest of the universe. There's got to be other life out there. Of course there has to be. There have to be other civilizations. There have to be other thinking creatures, people, blobs, whatever they want to call themselves, out there. I'm sure there are because, well, I don't have, again, I don't have my picture. I have one favorite picture from the Hubble Space Telescope, which is full of wonderful colors and little spirals and little dots. And every single one of those dots can represent and does represent light that came to us, started to come to us, and arrived at Earth. It started out billions of years ago. So what we're looking at in that photograph doesn't exist anymore. That's the way it was billions of years ago, because it took that amount of time for that light to reach us. Now, this takes my breath away when I even think of it. So that Hubble Space Telescope picture is going into my book, my next book, my 11th book, which will be called A Magician in the Laboratory. Yeah, not lavatory, no, the laboratory. Yeah, be very careful of the choice of words there. Not a great mystery, really, when you come right down to it, because all my friends and family and people close to me, in any way, and most people, even when I did my radio program back in the 1960s, they were pretty well aware of it. Nobody really came out with it and asked me about it, but they were pretty well aware of it, and I never tried to hide it. If anyone asked me, I would say, oh yes, sure. And I would even give them details if they asked. I have no problem. I've never had any problem with it. But it wasn't something that I went around wearing a pin saying, I'm gay. So there, hey, how about that? The wonderful thing was when I came out with it on Swift, I just said, I'm gay, boom. And I said a few more words on the thing, and then I dropped the subject. Every single response that came in was congratulating me, saying, gee, I never knew. Or I thought I suspected, but I didn't know. Congratulations and whatnot. I got a huge amount of mail. It went on and on, hundreds and hundreds of responses, and I still get them from across the world. I didn't get one negative comment, and not one out of all of those. And I wasn't filtering them out. No, they came right through to my email with no trouble at all. So the reaction was very good, and we're finding, I'm looking at a list. I think it's up to 18 now. Three, four, five. Yes, it looks like 18 of the states in the United States out of 48, now 50 states. 18 of them I've got crossed off here because these are our states that no longer prohibit same-sex marriage, for example. Same gender marriage is what I like to call it. And you may have not know, have you noticed? Now I show you in detail. Yes, that's my wedding ring, which my partner and I put on, oh, how many months? Well, some months ago in Washington, D.C., because I happened to be there, and he made his way up to Washington, joined me there, and we actually got married in that one state. But I think we're on our way on this list here till pretty soon all of the 50 states in the United States of America will have same-sex, same gender marriage with very little trouble. I think it's time that it came about because that's the real world. That's the way the real world works. And I have never had the feeling of walking down the street looking at people and saying, I wonder about you. Hey, what about you too? No, I've never had that problem. That's everyone's own business. And I came out publicly like that just because it was the honest thing to do, and because I've got my 11th book coming out, and I didn't want anybody suddenly discovering something and saying, yeah, I just found out, and they wanted to be made very evident. So I came out. It was about time. I never tried to conceal the fact, as I say. I never had any problem with it being a reality of life, and that's the way it is. I have a feeling that the answer to that is yes, but not too many people have the clout, have the influence on the society around them that would make it important that they do that. So it may not be all that critical for the ordinary citizen to do it. I have a rather high profile on a low level, let's say on the internet and certainly in the skeptical world. So I had that obligation, I felt. And I didn't have any problem doing it. I was seated at the computer one morning and I was wondering what I was going to say on Swift, which is named after Jonathan Swift, as I'm sure you know, the great skeptic from way back when in the UK. I just said, oh, maybe it's about time. Hi, click, 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 click. And I just simply said, I'm gay, and that's the way it is, and went on for a couple of paragraphs, I think. And the reaction, as I say, was very, very warming. People from every country you can imagine in the world, from Patagonia, even. Wow. That's sort of obscure. And other countries all around the world, people saying, congratulations, wow, thank you for notifying us or just making a case of it. I was very happy to do it, and happier after I had done it, because I didn't know what the reaction might be. I thought there might be a lot of naysayers out there who would try to jump down my throat and make me embarrassed and such. Not that I would be embarrassed at all. My answer to them is, but I don't know how to spell that, so it's very hard to put down on paper. Well, first of all, I would recommend that these people look in at our website, of course, at www.randy.org, and read some of the material we've got on there. We've got a lot of material up. It's a huge website, really, with lots of recorded essays and such. They're all there, and I ask you to consider them and read them and see what you think. If you have any doubt about whether or not you're a skeptic yourself, and you may be a limited skeptic too, you may only be skeptical about certain things. That's okay too. I have lots of friends who are religious. They have a well. Look at Martin Gardner. He admitted to me a few years before his death at the age of 95. That's the way I want to go. My goodness. Martin Gardner admitted to me that he was a deist, and that's another matter for discussion at great length, of course, and maybe we'll do that someday. But being a deist, he said, I don't have any proof for it. You have much better proof for what you contend, Randy. I have no proof for it, which I have no evidence to support my point of view, but I do it because it makes me feel better. A man 95 decides that he feels better being a deist. Go with it, Martin. And I would almost say bless you, but not quite. But I didn't resent him doing that at all. Yeah, and go to YouTube as well, because there's lots of stuff up there on YouTube. Almost everything I've ever said or done is on YouTube someplace. So look for it. It's been a pleasure to speak to my friends in the Philippines. I have many friends in the Philippines. I haven't even mentioned that, but one of these days we'll talk about that as well.